in our second week of our series, Go Viral. And this series is about you and I embracing and owning our story, because I believe your life and my life is a message. All that we've gone through gives an opportunity for you and I to testify. Now, when you think of the power to testify, we think of a courtroom. Someone has seen something, they witnessed it, they heard something, they know something, and so they're called upon to testify to prove that case or whatnot. When you and I are in Christ, I believe for everyone in this room and online, we've all seen God do amazing things, whether we know it or not. And so what our job is then to turn around and testify, witness what God has done for us. And so I want to encourage you with this message. We're going to hear a testimony here on a video in just a moment. I believe we're going to be blessed by this afternoon, because God is for us, not against us. Amen? So in our Bible verse, Psalms 84, and they'll put it on the screen if you don't have a Bible. This psalm, most likely, theologians and historians believe, was written after the people of God were taken away as captive to the land of Babylon. And so notice the language of this in verse 5. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have their minds set on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When you walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. For the Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives us grace and glory. How many are glad for grace and glory? For the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. So, Father, I thank you for this 12:30 worship experience. Thank you for a great weekend on this fall break and what you're doing in our city. I pray that we would hear you in this room and online. We would move forward in faith and receive what you have for us. Thank you for protecting us and keeping us. In Jesus' name, amen. Check this out, and I'll come right back.
Growing up, religion was pounded on me. So when I graduated high school, I kind of went my separate way. There was no drive to go to church. I wanted to be as far away from it as I could. Then I went into the service and saw and did things that pushed me even further away from religion. When I got out of the service, I met Melissa. We started our relationship. We
were on the same page at the time. Yeah. I mean, we both were like, there's something.
And she started going to church, but I still wasn't ready to take that step, that leap of faith. And didn't criticize her for going. There was no tension for her going. It just wasn't for me. And I joke with her and said, I'd like to tease her and tell her that she tricked me into going to church, because she said she wanted to go to this thing that the church was having called Build.
Yeah.
Well, we sat through Build, and after Build, something started to pull a little bit harder for me to come to church. And then we started life groups, and it just, everything at City just clicked.
We've had a hard time connecting. When I was going to church, and he wanted nothing to do with it, and I would try to talk to him about something I had learned, maybe we should try this, he would shut me down. But I just remember, like, it was put on me, like, things could just be so much better.
Everything felt like a struggle for me.
If he would just do this, if he would just take that step and do this.
And then I finally got baptized, and we started walking together on the path. Obviously, she was still further ahead of me in her journey than I am. But it did bring us together, and now we're all going the same direction. For me, it's letting go of the past and not feeling like I have to catch up with her in her walk, because that is, for me, that's a struggle, because I know where she's at. Yes, I know I will eventually get there.
I think for the couples who are out there that might be going through the same thing that we are, whether you're one of you goes to church and the other one doesn't go at all, or you're where we're at right now, which is you're both going to church, but you just can't, like, get connected together and walk that path together, as well as maybe you would like pray, just keep praying. That's what I did for 12 years before my prayers were answered with Chris, taking that step, accepting Jesus and getting baptized.
Come on, isn't that awesome? Love that story. And you know what I really appreciate about their story is they're real and that they're still walking it out and there's still issues that they're navigating. And that's reality, isn't it? And so I want to encourage you, how do you and I gain the opportunity to testify? Have you noticed that when you and I testify about something, it's most likely because something was difficult and we walked through it. Therefore, we have the opportunity to testify or witness or to explain what, you know, God has done in our lives. I believe these verses bear that out. And so as I'm preaching here for a few moments, I want to ask you and want you to think about, what have you gone through in your life? What have you seen God do in you? You know, all of us have gone through something. And I mentioned last week about you and I owning our story, how it took me 11 years in my walk with God to really own my story. I think a lot of people that are Christians, let alone non-Christians, still feel embarrassed about where they've come from, what they've struggled with or dealt with. But in Jesus, we don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed anymore. We need to own our story so we can share our story. We can testify. Amen. Now, notice, I believe when you and I think about our faith and we think about our walk with God, I believe there's great power when you and I simply walk with God every day. It's so simple, but yet isn't it profound to think about getting up every day and making a decision that today I choose to live my life as I walk with God. Enoch in the book of Genesis walked with God so closely that the Bible says that God just took him into heaven. In Psalms 23, David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." In Psalms 84, it says here, "I walk through the valley of weeping." I'm just glad we don't have to live there, camp there, or stay there. We walk through the valley, amen, and come out on the other side. But yet, notice the principle in so many other places of the scripture that there is great power when you and I walk with God. I want to encourage you, it's simple and yet deep in that don't stop walking. Don't give up. Keep moving. Because notice in verse 5, this speaks of determination. The psalmist is writing in a foreign land, and he's telling God's people, set your mind, set your heart on getting back to Jerusalem. For us today in modern day, I believe the Holy Spirit would be saying, set your mind on following God every day. Be determined to walk with God and not turn to the right or the left, but keep moving. But how many know that's a huge deal, because we are pulled on constantly to stop walking, to maybe get distracted and go here or go there. So it takes great faith to simply walk with God every day. Now, I'm glad we don't have to walk fast. Come on, somebody. We don't have to keep up with the Joneses. Some of us can walk really slow, or some of us can walk fast or medium. It really doesn't matter. The issue is, will we just walk? So I want to encourage you this afternoon to be determined, like in verse 5, to walk with God and don't stop for anything. Because notice in verse 6, he says that you and I will walk through the valley of weeping. And isn't that true for all of us in this room and online? Haven't all of us walked through the valley of weeping at some level, be it a marriage issue or, you know, relationships in general, a child or money or a dream or who knows what? All of us have been through the valley of weeping. None of us can get around it. And some people argue and say, well, if God is so good, why in the world, I mean, do I have to go through the valley of weeping? But please hear this statement. God does not and cannot stop us from crying. Jesus himself cried. As a matter of fact, if you want to be spiritual, you can tell someone, I know a verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Come on, John 11, just start preaching. Jesus wept. I know the Bible. God can't stop that from happening because we're in a fallen world. It's called hurt people hurt people. However, God heals us through the weeping and brings good out of it. So notice, you and I will walk through the valley of weeping. All of us have been there. Maybe you're there right now, or maybe it's something in your past. But here's good news. Probably in our lifetime, we'll go through multiple valleys of weeping. But the good thing is, in this verse, notice that in the valley of weeping, God turns it into a place of refreshing, and he brings blessings in that place. This is how you and I gain momentum and an opportunity to testify. We don't like to hear this. This is not something that's popular. But let me tell you something. When you and I walk through and we just embrace the reality of life, and then we put God's truth in our reality, he takes the weeping and he turns it for good, and we can have refreshing and blessing as we walk through the valley, and we can look back and say, look what the Lord done. He brought me through it, and then we can testify about what he's done. I want to encourage you to embrace this truth that maybe our weeping will lead us closer to God. It's possible that our struggle will be the catalyst into our refreshing. It's very possible that our weeping can lead us into a moment to testify of the goodness and the grace of God. Our challenge is that we're focusing in that valley of weeping on what has happened to us, and justifiably so. But God is focused on what he wants to do through our lives in the valley of weeping to show forth his glory. So you and I have to understand that our faith does not inoculate us from never going through struggle. That if someone tells you that, that's not true. Jesus went through struggle. You and I will have trouble in this world, John 14 says. But he is faithful to be with us and bring it about for his good and for our good. Now, I've been looking at some pictures of people climbing mountains. I've been listening to people talk about mountain climbing. I'm not going to do it, but I've been listening to people do it. I want you to think about this point in nature. On the mountaintop, which is a metaphor for conquest, success, victory, overcoming, on the mountaintop, there is no vegetation. On the mountaintop, mostly, obviously, is snow and ice. The air is thin. You have to be in really good shape, probably even great shape, have to have a skill to even climb that high to get to that mountaintop and then know what you're doing. And they say coming down the mountain is even more dangerous than climbing up. But how many know you can't live on the mountaintop? It won't work. You have to come down. And I want you to think about a mountain area. If sunlight can get to a valley, so please know, if sunlight can get to it, if you will see a valley, most of them have some type of water source, and when sunlight can get to it, it's lush green. Plants grow, trees grow. All these things are happening in the valley. Here's spiritual truth. Our greatest intimacy with God, our greatest growth with God happens in the valley. Then when we grow in our faith, he takes us to the mountaintop to celebrate and to praise him, and for God to get the glory. And then guess what? We got to come down that mountain. And we're probably going to go through another valley. But then we're going to grow even more through that. This, what I'm saying right now, I would pray that everyone in this room and online would just embrace this. I've done this long enough to have seen people stop walking, and they quit because they don't understand, or they let something else come in their heart, that the valley of weeping is a part of the process. God doesn't want it for us, but God brings good in us when we embrace it and embrace him, and we get closer to God. At some point, we have to understand that weeping will happen, and this is what's powerful, though, about it. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that God has recorded each of our tears in a bottle of remembrance. How supernatural. That God knows every human being's tears by number and remembers them. So he knows our weeping. He's not aloof. He knows what's going on. And yet he's working for our good. And so we will go to the mountaintop, but we're also going to grow in the valley. This is a part of our faith. And notice in verse 7, here's a great truth, that as we are determined, as we go through the valley of weeping and we gain this momentum to testify of something, verse 7 says that in this place we grow stronger. How interesting that we grow stronger through trial. We grow stronger through struggle. Really, I have talked to people that have success in their life, and they've told me personally that they've had a harder time handling their blessing than they did handling their struggle. Because struggle can bring you down to bare bones where you have to do it to survive and you have to go. But blessing can present a different set of challenges. Nothing wrong with blessing. I want to be blessed. How about you? But just know that this verse promises us when we're determined and we walk through the valley of weeping, we embrace it as a part of life, but then we let God come in it and turn it around for his good, and we look back on it, and then we testify to someone else what God has done. And in the process of all of that, we're gaining momentum and we're getting stronger in our faith. I know this is not popular on fall break weekend, but this is good. This is how we move forward. Remember, if you were around church as a kid, remember something they used to call Sunday school? And they used to teach us songs in Sunday school. How about this one? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to. And if you got gangster, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bush. Oh, no. I'm going to let it shine. How many were there at one time when you sang that song? I was so embarrassed. But anyway, I know that's childlike, but as adults, are we hiding our light? Because we're embarrassed or ashamed to testify of what God has done through the valley of weeping. Very simplistic message. But let's be honest, when it comes down to it, tomorrow morning, when we get the moment and God comes up with our family, friends on the job, at Starbucks, you know, getting our bagel or whatever, are we confident enough in our walk to begin to testify, you know what, God has done something? We should never argue doctrine or quibble over church semantics. We are to testify about what God has done. And when we look back at all the weeping we've done, we come through it and say, God has been faithful, and we declare, I've gotten stronger. I'm still standing. God is with me. He's for me, not against me. I can testify and witness of his goodness. So if you're in the valley of weeping in your marriage, in your parenting, in some area of your life, please hear me today. Please keep on walking and don't stop. Don't stop walking. Now notice, I believe in verse 11, we see the power of us testifying, and we see three things in my remaining time with you. I believe we see first what God will do, then we see what the enemy wants us to do, and the third thing is the power of what we decide to do. In verse 11, one of my favorite verses, the Bible says that he is our sun and shield. That means that God is our protector. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in what the Bible says. Do you know every day as you and I pray, angels, I believe in angels. They are in our house. They are in every room. They are in our car. They are around our car. They are on the job, even in that classroom where the professor is Satan. They are in there with you. He just may be Lucifer. I don't know. But anyway, those angels are with you wherever you go, and that scriptural, Psalms 91, 11, Hebrews 1, 12, and 14, angels go with us. God is our sun and shield, folks. He is protecting you and I. Isn't that good to know? That's what God will do. And then he says that God will give us grace and glory. Aren't you glad that God gives us grace? We talked about that last week, favor that is unearned or not deserved. And God gives you and I glory. And then we see in this end part of the verse, that God holds back no good thing from those who walk with him. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God is the good guy. There are so many verses in the Bible, Old and New Testament, that bears out that God is for us. He is the giver of good gifts, and he gives us good things. I want you to think about Chris and Melissa's story. Think about their valley of weeping. 12 years she prayed for her husband. I know what Chris has gone through. Intense stuff. And he walked through weeping. He's walked through all types of stuff. And think if they would have stopped walking. Think if they would have just let, you know, whatever, take them to the side. But they kept going. And I believe God has been their sun and shield. He's given them, and you and I, grace and glory. And he's given all of us good things. When you and I testify, it's simply saying, if God did it once, he'll do it again. And we overcome our enemy by testifying. And so when you and I testify or testimony, when we do that, we're saying if God can do it for me, God can do it for you. And so we're getting empowered at what God has done in us, and we give you hope that God can do it for you. Because I'm not better than you. Come on, somebody. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. So we see what God will do. If we're determined, we walk with God no matter how we feel through the valley of weeping. We know we get stronger in that moment. Then we see here what God will do. Sun and shield gives us grace and glory, gives us good things. What does the enemy want us to do? Please hear this. What's the enemy want you and I to do? The enemy wants you and I to stop walking. He wants you and I to give up. Get mad at God. Get mad at church. Get mad about this. Get mad about that. Get all worked up on tangents, and we give up and stop what God has started. He wants you and I to take life in our own hands, and we live for revenge, proving who's right or wrong. Anger controls us, holding a grudge, and so many more things. That this is what the enemy wants us to do. So we know what God will do. We know what the enemy wants us to do. So the real question is, what are we going to do? We have a choice to make. You and I, every day, can make a simple decision. I feel like it. I don't feel like it. I feel spiritual. I feel unspiritual. I'm distraught or I'm full of joy or whatever. I walk with God today. I'm going with God today. I'm walking with God. Slow pace, maybe just so slow, but I'm going. I'm going. I'm moving. I'm reaching. Last night, I tested a joke. I was like Bobby Brown, every little step I take, you will be there. No one laughed, like right now. Or how about step in the name of love? R. Kelly, just step in the name of love. Step, side to side. Kind of didn't work too good, did it? Okay, next week we'll try a different one. Anyway, keep on going. Can't touch this. Dun, dun, dun. Anyway, keep on going. And so stop now. Stop. You and I want to encourage you that the enemy wants you and I to lower ourselves. Please hear me. He wants us to lower ourselves to be and to live in jealousy, unforgiving, angry, fearful, blaming, quitting, skeptical, distrusting, cynical, critical, and just suspicious. All that's what the enemy, that's a lower. The enemy wants to bring us down when God wants to bring us up. And so the enemy wants us to stop walking. The enemy wants you to take life in our own hands, and we just get back at people and fight. And that's what the enemy wants. But really, then we decide what we're going to do. And all we can decide to do some days is say, I'm going to keep on walking. You and I have the power, in closing, to testify. You do. You have the power to testify. Every moment you get. Aren't you glad we don't have to be weird Christians and spiritual, and we can just be normal? Don't have to preach at people. All we have to do is just simply tell them what we've seen God do. We don't have to get into these debates, and we shouldn't even ever get into a debate. We shouldn't get into semantics of church and blah, blah. Forget it. All we need to do is just say, I walked through this valley, and God did this for me. He's real because I know he's real. Recently, I want to end with a story. This story moved my heart. I took some of the men. We went to a men's conference in Kentucky, and we got the chance to hear, I believe, one of the generals, if you want to call him that, in the body of Christ. I mean, his name is Tommy Barnett. He's 80 years old now. He still preaches four times on a Sunday. His son pastors the Dream Center in L.A., and they had a dream from Phoenix, Arizona, to buy an abandoned hospital in L.A. and turn it around to be a mecca for people that were overlooked and ignored. Young girls that were in sex trafficking, the homeless, the drug addict, those that most Christians would be like, I'll pray for you and keep on walking. They had a dream to have a hospital, to let families have a housing and do all this stuff. It was amazing. 20 years ago, when he was 60 years old, just to acquire that property, they needed a down payment of $750,000 and didn't have it. So he had an idea to raise the money. He would walk from Phoenix to LA, almost 500 miles. And he did. At 60 years of age, for 19 straight days, he walked 26 miles a day. He told us that night at the conference that he wears a size 9, but during that journey, his feet swelled to a size 12. Blisters would be on the bottom of his feet. He'd wake up every day. Most of the days, he said, I don't want to do this. I want to quit. I'm tired of this. But he got up every day, and he walked. And he raised money. He did it for the, and it touches me, because he did it for the destitute. He did it not for himself. He did it for the people that no other church would want to reach, so they could have a center to reach these people. He raised that money. And today, 20 years later, that facility is fully functional. He told us that recently they celebrated, he and his wife, pastoring 40 years. And it's a longer story, but for time, they lined the streets from the entrance of the church two blocks with all the people from the Dream Center. He and his wife got out, now 80 years of age, and walked down the street two blocks as people were on either side going up to the building. He said the first group was these big burly guys that are now disciples for Christ, once gang members, drug addicts, drug dealers, totally changed, living in the Dream Center. They've literally taken a van, drive, and they have driven up to a corner, grabbed a young girl, threw her in the van, and they drive off, and they hide her so that she can escape sex trafficking. He walked down, and he saw some of those girls and hugged them, and they hugged him and said, thank you, Pastor Tommy. Said a lot of men and women have just, you know, hurt their bodies and their life, and through drug use, a lot of them come with their teeth missing, their, you know, they're rotten, and they give them dentures, and you know, when they come, they don't smile, but now, you know, they're smiling and they're confident and they're hugging, and you know, thank you so much, Pastor Tommy. Walking two blocks, surrounded by people, going into the church that night, and they brought he and his wife on stage, 4,000 people packed out in this great auditorium, all of these people getting their GED, learning a trade, getting off the street, living a productive life, that without the Dream Center, they would still be doing what they're doing, what they were doing before. They looked at each other, and the wife said, I'm so glad we didn't quit. All of that because a man walked with God. And I'm glad that God's not calling us to walk 19 days, 26 miles a day. Come on, somebody. But, in this room and online, hear me. He is calling you and I to walk with him every day. We get up out of bed. Some days we feel blisters on our feet. Some days our spiritual feet are swollen of pain and anger and frustration, concern. We get up and we simply put one foot in front of the other and we say, I'm walking with God. And in those moments, we gain the opportunity to testify and say, look what God has done. And then if we go through another valley, we walk through it and we look back and we say, look what God has done. This afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, I pray you would testify. I pray you would go viral, because the more you say it, the stronger we get, and the more hope we spread to someone else. If you believe in this Jesus today, give him a great and clap of praise. Isn't he awesome? That's what Jesus can do. Go ahead and stand to your feet, and you online, please respond to God. Go viral, church. Go viral. Go viral. Go viral. As your head is bowed in this moment, you would say today, some of you would say, Pastor Dave, right now in this moment, I'm weeping. Others would say, I'm really not weeping right now. I'm okay. I feel fine. But either one of those places, you and I have the opportunity to testify and to share. As heads are bowed, some would say, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life, and I want to receive Jesus today. I want to put my faith in him. Others of you would say, I've done that before, but I'm disconnected from God, and I want to reconnect myself to him. As heads are bowed, and you would say, I want that. I want to receive Christ for the first time or reconnect. In this moment, right now, please raise your hand. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today and come to God. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. I see it. Thank you. People are coming to Jesus today. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Love it. And how many would say today, Pastor Dave, again, maybe you're in the valley of weeping, maybe you're not, but you would say, Pastor Dave, I want you to pray with me. I want the strength to walk every day, and I want the boldness to testify when that moment comes, not argue, not preach at, not get defensive. I just want to simply testify about what God has done in me. If you want support today in any of those things, please raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands up everywhere. Good. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out. Please say, Lord Jesus, my life is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that, and I say yes to you. By the Holy Spirit, empower me to walk every day and to testify when I get those chances. I share freely what you've done for me. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for this great congregation in this room and online, and I pray that every one of us would not stop in our walk with God. And that we would, when life causes us to weep, we would not grow bitter, we would grow better. We would worship you and thank you. And then we would testify of what you've done. I curse any embarrassment or shame off of this group of people. Let us be bold about where we've come from. Let us be strong about what you've done. And let your grace flood us every day. In Jesus' name.